Hello, my name is Pauli Heikkinen and I'm working at the Department of Physics of the University of Jyväskylä and more specifically in the accelerator laboratory. At the moment, due to COVID-19, I'm working distant and making video lectures for my students. And then I thought that why not to make a video also for general public to get a tour to our laboratory. So I will just pick up the file to show you. So I will give a short introduction to the accelerator laboratory and then we will make a virtual tour in the lab. So if you didn't already know, this is Europe, you probably knew it. And then here we have Finland. And in central of Finland, Jyväskylä is right there. This is a satellite picture, a bit modified. And then this is also a satellite picture, a bit closer look with map on it, and this is downtown Jyväskylä, and this here, well, it's covered by ice and some clouds here, I believe, almost like today, and here our faculty is located, and the Department of Physics and the laboratory is here. If we climb on the roof of our neighbor building, NanoScience Center, we can see our laboratory. So this is part of the Lake Jyväsjärvi, and there's a hotel on the other side, and so some university buildings. The main campus is back there on to the right. And here we have the Department of Physics building, and our older experimental hall, which is actively used, and the extension for it here, and the big cyclotron is located here. Chemistry buildings are on this side. Now, first a bit dull slide, giving some information on the laboratory. So we have four accelerators. For uses for basic research applications and commercial services. The working horse is the K130 cyclotron, which accelerates particles from the lightest, namely protons, up to xenon. Actually, we have once or twice accelerated also gold. Got into work 1992, or actually the first beam we got 1993. And another accelerator is a linear accelerator, 1.7 million volt megavolt Pelotron accelerator for ambient analysis and modification of materials that we got 2007. And the smaller cyclotron 2012, at the moment it is not operational. And an electron linear accelerator in 2015. Actually, it's an old radiation therapy machine, but we will not use it for therapy, but science. The lab is an internal part of Department of Physics. It's very important for us, namely, this brings us closer to the students. The students are very important for us, and it's for the students also, they get easily acquainted with the laboratory and its work. The Ministry of Education has given us a national task for accelerator-based research and education. And we have been the center of excellence of the Academy of Finland between 2006 and 2017. We also are an EU access laboratory, and we also on the roadmap, so-called FIRI roadmap of research infrastructures in Finland. And in that, on the application side, we are one of the three recognized test laboratories of European Space Agency. Typically, we have around 300 foreign users every year, so it's a very international laboratory. International also in the way that international investments on instrumentation is worth more than 10 million euros. The lab has a staff of 77 round and 56 in research groups and 21 in technical personnel, in mechanical workshops and designers and so forth. Our budget is around 6 to 7 million euros. Roughly 50% comes from the university and 50% external, so outside the university. And we have strong involvement and also leadership in research at CERN and FAIR, these big European laboratories. And also collaborative research with different agencies like STUC, European Space Agency, and VTT, the State Research Center. The core fields of the laboratory are fundamental nuclear science and applications. That's the main thing. And accident-based material science and cultural heritage, basically with Pellatron accelerator. And radiation effects in electronics, that's also one of the main commercial activities and some other commercial services. And here you can see the four accelerators. This is the big cyclotron K, 130 cyclotron, which is used annually around 6,000 hours. The maximum has been 7,500 hours. To get you on the map of these annual hours is that in a year we have 8,760 hours, and 24 hours more if we have a leap year. And this is the electron LINAC and Pellatron here and the smaller cyclotron open in this picture. You will see these later in this presentation. Down here on the right, you can see the operation of the big cyclotron since the beginning. So we had the first beams out in 1992. We started to install the cyclotron in 1990. And the real experiment started in 1993. And already 1996, we reached the 6,000 hours per year level. And it's been oscillating here. The maximum was 7,500. And then due to some change in the profile of the work, it's gone down and stabilized to 6,000. Now this year, the COVID year, it's of course less, but we are still quite active. And the big cyclotron usage, the biggest share is taken by nuclear spectroscopy, and then exotic nuclei and beams, about one third. And here, industrial applications about one quarter, and then nuclear reactions and some other applied research. And this shows the profile of the Pellatron accelerator divided in a bit different way. So this biggest part is national research and development, and this international research collaboration this year, and training quite a lot. And some services and measurements there. This is a floor plan of our laboratory. So in this bunker, we have the big cyclotron. Its name is a bit dull, K130. And this hole here is the original hall where we have the iron sources here. We will see pictures of that. We used to have medical applications here earlier. We produced radioisotope for for medical use for one medical company. And here we have different devices for nuclear basic research. And here in the end is Radev cave. That's the area for industrial applications, space electronics testing, microfilter production, and this C-LINAC is the electron accelerator. And in the extension, we have the smaller cyclotron, which, as I said, is not at the moment operational. And then this big IGISOL set up here to study mainly medium mass neutron rich isotopes. In light words, to say the main subject here is to study how little from what little boys and little girls and also the other girls are made of. So to study how the elements, atomic elements, have been formed in different kind of circumstances, like in neutron star collisions and so forth. Now let's start the tour. This a bit messy picture shows the area where we have at the moment two ion sources. So the particles that we actually, they are atoms, and we must first ionize them, take electrons away from them to get them electrically charged so that they can be accelerated with electric fields and guided with magnetic fields. And in this box here inside, we have one so-called electron cyclotron resonance ion source, which produces highly charged ions. And here we have a similar device, which is much more powerful. Takes very, very many electrons away so that we can accelerate the particles to high energies, and that also the intensity is higher. And there's one similar older device upstairs, this is downstairs, and one ion source below the cyclotron, which produces negative hydrogen. We accelerate hydrogen and deuterium as negative ions. That's more the so-called extraction, so how to take the beam out from the cyclotron is more effective with negative ions. But for positive ions, it is not possible to get high enough energies with negative ions. Everything here that you see, we have installed here day by day, year by year. And many of these devices, like these ion sources, have been built in our laboratory and also mainly designed. This was totally designed in our laboratory. So the beam from here, from this ion source, it's been bent here with a dipole magnet to the corner. And from this, with another dipole magnet to the corner, and from the ion source from one floor up, it comes down and is bent to the same line. And then when we go on the other side of that back wall there, the beam comes along this vacuum tube here and is bent up here to the cyclotron. This is the negative ion source. So we use this when we want to accelerate hydrogen, so protons or neutrons, but as negative ions, as I said. There are lots of tubes here. Many of these tubes are for cooling water, so these devices must be cooled because they produce a lot of heat. Now we are outside the cyclotron bunker. So the ion sources are behind this wall here. Now we are on the first floor, and the ion sources, most of them were on the basement. And here you can see how thick the wall wall is 3 meters thick concrete wall, so that when we are X-rating light ions especially, then the radiation level in the cyclotron bunker is very high, and it's dangerous to go there. It's not allowed to go there. And but this very thick wall is a ceiling, so that on this side we cannot see any increase on radiation levels when the cyclotron is running. And this here is a sliding door. Goes, it opens on using an electrical motor, and it's moving on rails. Now this is the big cyclotron. The door is on the right here. This was built by Scanitronics, partly designed by our laboratory. That was my work to design most of the magnet, which is the yellow part here. This yellow here is soft iron. It can be magnetized, and here we can see copper coils. There's a big electric current, nominally about 1,000 amperes in the coil, which produces a magnetic field, which comes down here to the X-rating chamber. We will see it in the following pictures, and then it goes around along this iron from down here, and then up and down again. And in this cabinet, there's another on the other side. We have radio frequency resonators, which produce fast oscillating electric fields, and electric fields accelerate the particles to magnetic fields, just keep them on their trajectory. And when they have been accelerated to the maximum energy, they will be taken out, and then along this tube here, they go to the experimental hall. By the way, the roof also is 3 meters thick, so that there is no danger to be on the roof when the accelerator is in operation. Now we have opened the cyclotron. The particles come from below, and they are bent here in the center to the horizontal plane, so that they start going around counterclockwise here. And these, what is called these here, this D and this D, they are they are the electrodes, and their voltage, maximum voltage is about 50,000 volts, 50 kilovolts, and is oscillating with a frequency between 10 and 21 megahertz, so 10 to 21 million oscillations per turn. And this area here and that area there is in at 0 volts. And when the positive particle comes from here between these aluminium bars, which are also at 0 volts, and then they can see this gap and see this the electrode, which is at that time negative. So there's an electric field pointing to the left. The particles are accelerated, and then they are bent by the magnetic field. They come here to the next gap, and during that path, the sign of the voltage changes from minus to plus. And then we come from plus to zero. And then we travel here and come from zero to negative. And from there, from positive to zero. So 4 times per turn, the particles are kicked. So they are accelerated, and they make then a spiral orbit here up to this point here, which is 96 centimeters from the center. And then they go inside this device, which is called an electrostatic deflector. There we kick the particles outwards with an electric field. So that we make the electric field with high voltage, which is about 50 to 60 kilovolts. And then the beam is shifted about 1.5 centimeters outwards, so that it can fit into this device, which is an electromagnet, which kicks the particles outwards again. And then they travel here, still quarter of a turn, and go out. So that part here, where the particles are taken out, that's 96 centimeters from the center. So this bit I'll do with positive ions. So those ions which are produced with these electron cyclotron resonance ion sources. So that electrons has been taken away and then they are positively charged. But for negative ions, we pull these out a bit. We reverse the magnetic field so that the particles still go counterclockwise. They come here and then we take in here 1 to 2 micrometer thick carbon foil, and when the particles, hydrogen which has 2 electrons, it hits the carbon foil. The carbon foil takes away the both electrons, and the charge state of the hydrogen changes from -1 to +1. So up to that point, it has been turning to the left, and then it turns to the right, and it goes out. And doing that, we can get 99.9% out of the particle beam using this device. We get out the maximum is perhaps 70%, but typically 40 to 50% or 60%. So we lose a lot of beam here, which of course activates the inner parts. And below this copper plate here, we have the magnetic pole. You can see here the pole, and it has some spiral sectors here, and there's another pole coming from above, and where the gap between the poles is smaller, we are talking about hills, then the magnetic field is higher, and here where we have the valley, the magnetic gap is bigger, the magnetic field is lower. Now that magnetic shape gives some focusing for the particle beam so that we don't lose it. And then in the valleys, we have space for some correction coils that we use, for example, to enhance the extraction process to get as much as possible of the particles out. And on the other side of the copper, we have 15 concentric, so round coils here. And using these coils, we can adjust the magnetic field so that we can get the particles out. So the maximum radius, because the magnetic field must increase slightly when we go outwards, that takes care of the relativistic mass increase. this is very sensitive device to cyclotron, so that if the magnetic field changes by 0.2 per mil, or 0.02%, then the particles cannot make it to the extraction. So the magnetic field must be very, very precise. Now we are come out from the cyclotron. The beam is coming from here. Now we are now in the experimental hall, and then the beam is focused using this kind of magnets, quadrupole magnet, which has 4 poles. This is just lead for shielding against the radiation. And then this yellow here is a magnet. Actually, this is the magnet of our old MC20 cyclotron, which was the very first cyclotron that this company, Scandisonics, made in the mid-70s. And that we used many, many years in our earlier location, about 2 kilometers from here. And now here the beam has been bent with this device by 35 degrees, and now it goes along this vacuum tube all the way, and then to the end, and there are magnets here which turn the beam to the left or right in the different locations where the beam is used. So here again we are going forward. These magnetic lenses, they are in pairs. So in horizontal plane direction, so sideways here, this is, for example, focusing in this direction, but it's defocusing in this direction. So if we think of optical lenses, then in this horizontal direction, this is a plus lens. And in this direction, it's a minus lens. And So it's focusing only in this direction. And the next one is just opposite. And then when we have plus and minus lens after each other, there's some distance. So effectively, it acts as a plus lens. And everything here happens in a vacuum. So the pressure here is 10 to minus 7 millibar, or 10 to minus 10 atmospheric pressure. And the reason is that we want the particles to travel their whole journey without hitting residual gas molecules. From the cyclotron to the last experimental area, that's about 80 meters or a bit more. But in the cyclotron, the particles travel maximum more than 2 kilometers, perhaps 3 kilometers, or 1 kilometer in the minimum, because they travel 280 to 700 turns. And if you think of just the air that we have here, it's mostly nitrogen molecules, and the distance that the nitrogen molecules can travel between collisions to other air molecules, it's less than the wavelength of visible light. It's 64 nanometers. And fast particles like our beam can travel a bit longer, about 100 nanometers. And if we reduce the vacuum to one half from atmospheric pressure, then this 100 nanometers becomes 200 nanometers. But we want to increase this 100 nanometers to 1 kilometer. Then there's a factor of 10 to 10 between the distance, and it is 10 to the power of minus 10 atmosphere of the pressure here that we need. That's one interesting detail, I hope. Okay, and here we have two dipole magnets. This is bending to the left, and when this is off, the beam can go on, and this can turn to the beam to the right. And we go on and on. So we have these kind of chicanes here, so that the radiation, the neutrons, and the gamma rays which are produced upstream there, they will not go directly through the whole corridor here, but they will be stopped during these walls here. And still one more dipole magnet. Now we are looking at the experimental area in the older hall. So the caves are here under these concrete blocks, and there's some packages and other things here lying on the roof. And as you can see, the whole structure has been made of these kind of concrete blocks. So we can open these caves using our crane to get these blocks out, and then we can put in larger devices or take some larger devices out. Now we are on the ground floor. The cyclotron is back there on the right, and here you can see the structure of these caves from the first floor. And these walls are from 1 meter to 3 meters thick, depending on the cave, depending on the radiation level that we can have on the other side. And there you can see the crane that we use to lift these blocks and some heavy devices here. This is one experimental station. The beam comes here from the right and hits a small foil here, which is has about the same size as fingernail, but it's much, much thinner. And most of the beam goes through without doing anything. Some of the particles in the beam collide with the nuclei of this foil, and only very few of them produce these isotopes that we are interested in. And then we need very novel methods and devices to find out just the important things, interesting things. But most of the radiation that's coming out is just rubbish for the nuclear physicist that is studying very, very rare events. And here, when the particle hits the target foil and there's a collision, we have fusion, and we have an intermediate nucleus that is, due to recoil, it's flying forward. But while it's flying about 1 or 2 millimeters, it loses its energy. So the collision gives the particle, the new nucleus, energy. It's vibrating and oscillating, and it is oscillating, vibrating, and the rotation as well. And this rotational energy, it gets rid of very fast while it's traveling 1 or 2 centimeters. And then we have here around the target something like 40 germanium detectors to measure the radiation. So now this so-called gamma ball has been opened for maintenance. So it can happen that we measure hundreds of thousands events per second here, but we produce this important, interesting nuclei one in a second, or one in a minute, or a few in a day, and still we can find those using novel methods. So it's like a detective work in science. So this shows the gamma ball more closely. By the way, these parts of the detector. So the detector itself is this end here. Actually, there's one detector inside this piece here as well. but these are sort of thermal flasks. So we have liquid nitrogen here, which cools the detector and its electronics. These cannot operate at room temperature. And everything here, these lots of cables, they've been connected with our nuclear physicists and students. This is what happens after this. So the beam and travels forward, and also the nuclei that we have made via fusion, and then but due to recoil that they are flying also forward, and they go on the other side of a concrete wall, and there we have an electrostatic deflector, and then a magnetic deflector, and here we can turn the particle beam away and let only the interesting particles travel forward to the other side of this wall. And now we're on the other side of the wall in so-called focal plane, and the recoils are stopped here, and then they can be identified. It's a very, very big detector here. This MARA device is on the other side of this wall, so it's sort of a recoil separator. Here's another, this is called RITU. Its operation principle is a little different, but basically it just turns the particle beam away and lets the interesting particles go on and be stopped in the focal plane. And we can move this gamma ball, this tens of germanium detectors from MARA device to this device along these rails. Very handy and saves time a lot. This area is in the next cave. So there's a big scattering chamber. This is used to study nuclear reactions. Now at the moment this cave has been modified a bit, but this device is still here. Now we are looking at the area where we have our commercial activities, and you can see here this barrack. Our customers side in here, and the experimental area is on the other side of the wall. So the barrack looks like this. The operator of this radar group is sitting here and taking care of the particle beam, and our customers are sitting here, and then they are looking at what happens in their electronics when the electronics is being bombarded. And our space, so this is mainly space electronics. And our space is on the other side of the wall, the barrack is on the other side of this wall, and the beam is coming from here. The intensity is very, very low. And in this vacuum chamber, we have the electronics. And then the electronics, it can be like an operating motherboard or something, and it's been connected to the outer world, and it's been monitored during the irradiation. And then the researchers of the company, they can see what kind of radiation levels the electronics can withstand. So all new electron component types are tested in the laboratory before sending them into space or just throwing them in a garbage bin. This is much more flexible and much cheaper to study the radiation defects on electronics here than to send them into space and then finally perhaps see that it doesn't work. And then you have to send another electron device to the space and then see whether that works. This is the electron accelerator. It looks a bit scary because the plastic covers have been taken away, but it's operational. So this is for the patient. Well, we don't have any people as patients. We just irradiate electronics here or some other components. So this can be used also as an X-ray machine. So electrons are accelerated here, and then they come down either all the way out or they are stopped in in tungsten, which then produces X-rays, Bremsstrahlung. And that can be used then also to irradiate or to make sort of X-ray pictures. And this can be rotated around the thing that is being, which is under study. And we can get some tomographic pictures as well. This shows quickly the customers of this RADEP station, almost 100 users since 2005. And you may see some common names, what you recognize, like Airbus. So also aviation electronics is being studied, but Airbus is making also space electronics. This is a designer's picture of the new hall area of this IGISOL device. We are not able to go in here because it's rather hot. It's radioactive. Only the radiation workers are allowed to go in here. This is the small cyclotron. You will see it perhaps later. That is here. But at the moment, as I said, it's not operational. We have to do some maintenance work for it. And here, usually very thin uranium foils or some other foils are being bombarded by usually protons. The beam can come from the big cyclotron, from there on the other side of the wall, and one of the magnets that turn the beam to the right turns the beam here to the target. Or we can take the beam from the small cyclotron. And then we induced fission, and the fission fragments are stopped in low pressure helium gas, and then they are accelerated here, and then separated and analyzed in devices what we have on this side. And this device here is one of the most sensitive devices to measure the weight of an atom. this is one of the devices to study this very, very rare elements that we have produced with proton beams hitting uranium or some other heavy targets. This is the Pellatron opens for maintenance and now here for display. A few years ago, it's a linear accelerator, and the name comes from pellets. So here you can probably see some metallic pellets. They are they're insulated from each other, and these pellets take charge to this electrode here, whose maximum voltage is 1.7 million volts. And then it's positive, and this is a tandem accelerator. So we start with negative ions. We start from 0 volts, accelerate to positive 1.7 million volts. And then electrons are stripped away here, and then we have positive ions, and then they are accelerated again. And then used for material science or applications. And here, the leader of this group, and at the moment, the head of the Department of Physics, Timo Sajavara, is doing some checking of this accelerator. And as I said earlier, students are very important for us, and we are very, very important for the students as well. So, like the cyclone itself, it's used something like 6,000 hours per year, and we have at the moment two permanent operators, and then one is operating part time. He's mainly doing other things, and since working time for one person in a year is around 1,600, then 2 times 1,600 is only 3,200, and we have still another 3,000 to go. And we have trained so far up to about 100, a bit more than 100 students to work as operators. Of course, the older student operators have already left the university, and we have between 6 and 15 students, depending on the year, to run the cyclotron. And also the experimental groups, there the students are working, making their research work and their thesis. And many of the experimental devices have been designed by students. And in the end of this tour, we are in the control room. Actually, one of the operators is on the other side of the window. The cyclotron is back there. and now we have just changed the original control system, Alcont, which is an industrial control system for process industry. We have replaced that by another one. It is also an industrial control system. And it works well with accelerators as well. So this was the tour. I hope you enjoyed. And after the COVID, you are welcome to visit the lab in groups, especially. A few times a year, we have open doors. And that will be publicly announced. Or if you are school, if you're studying in the school, then school groups, students and teachers visit the lab also annually. But this year, of course, due to COVID, is an exception. So here I say you thank you, and I hope you enjoyed.